Thanks, Aaron and Andrea and the worship team for a great time of worship together. The songs really point to a lot of what I want to say today. And I'm always excited to see how God brings pieces together, that how he wants to communicate his message. Especially the song, Sing to the King. That is actually the title of my message today, Sing to the King. Question for you, what song are you singing? And you're like, well, I'm not singing right now, but you ever get a song stuck in your head, you know, and it's like all throughout the day you just find yourself humming and then singing that song, kind of like a stuck record. Wait a second, a lot of you don't know what that means, but anyway, my guess, some of you parents have some of the Christmas program songs that are probably stuck in your head. You've been hearing them at home a lot as your kids have been singing them. I'm really looking forward to the program tonight, and I hope you can all make it out. But what is that song that is maybe in your head, or the song that you are singing? Maybe you don't consider yourself real musical, or even maybe you don't like music that much, but each of us is singing a song in a way. We all are. Our lives, our words, our actions, our thoughts, they are all, in a sense, making music of some kind. And so I'm wondering what your song is today. If you were to think of your life as a song, what is that? Or what are you thinking of? What does it sound like? Maybe you saw The Sound of Music and that stuck in your head. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Somebody want to continue? There it is. All right, good job. Well, what's your song? What's the tone of your song? Is it joyful? Is it maybe somber? Is it maybe angry? I've heard some angry songs. Is it a celebratory song? What's your style? I don't know what your style is either. Is it country? Is it Southern gospel? Is it rock? Is it, I don't know all the styles anymore. There's too many. Rap. And what are the words of your song? What comes out of your life? Is it songs about your cat? Songs about the snow? Songs about Santa Claus? Are they songs about yourself? The reason I got to thinking about this, there's some headings in my Bible in Luke chapter 1. And as Reuben would say, put in by translators in Michigan. But I have some headings, and one of them I noticed, it said Mary's song. And I've been thinking a lot about her song this week and going over that passage, actually the last several weeks. And a little later in that passage in Luke chapter 1, you see a heading titled Zechariah's Song. And as I kept looking over the story, I began to see a lot of other songs in this story. Songs that emerge from the story of Christ's coming. And as I looked at each one of them, I began to marvel at what is being said, and how it's being said. These songs coming from many different people from different walks of life, people from different experiences, people that had different kinds of connection with the story. And it seems like everybody had a song to share. And so I begin to wonder for myself, what is my song? And especially as I look at this time of year, and as I reflect on the events that we celebrate, and I think, what is my song this time of year? I love music. Music is one of those things that touches my heart, like probably a few other things. Music can really speak to me. Like many works of art, for you it might be a painting, it might be a poem, It might be a well-written book. But all of us have these forms of expression that really kind of capture our own hearts and also give us an opportunity to express what we feel, what we know, what we understand. And so I come back to the question, what is your song? What is it that you are expressing? What is it that you want to communicate? And how are you doing that? All of our songs need inspiration, right? And I don't know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're not feeling very inspired. I get that way sometimes. I just don't feel too inspired about much of anything sometimes. It's possible that's where you're at. It's possible that you may not feel like maybe even singing at all. It's also possible that some of your songs might be a little silly, if I could say that. Maybe a little shallow, possibly. Maybe some of our songs are a little gray and somber and depressing, like a funeral march song. I don't know. It's possible that your song might be mostly about you, like I said earlier. I don't know what your song is about. But if we look at our inspiration, what our inspiration simply is Jesus. Jesus is our inspiration. And this time of year, our inspiration is Jesus coming to earth. We're going to look at the songs that were inspired by his coming. And my hope and my prayer for each of you is that you will gain fresh inspiration. Like I said, you may not be feeling too inspired this morning. I don't know where you're at. But I'm hoping and praying that you will gain some fresh inspiration as we look at some of these songs of people who were intimately involved with this event. I think first of Mary's song, and I always forget my slides here. That's for What's Your Song? Sorry, Doris. Those are kind of off the screen, aren't they? Are they okay? The title's off. I think it needs to be resized or something. Oh, mine is off. Yours is good. All right. As long as yours is good, we're good. All right. But our inspiration is Jesus. And I want to begin, I thought first of Mary's song. If you want to look in Luke chapter 1, her song begins in verse 46. But really, to understand Mary's song, we have to back up to Elizabeth's song. Mary's song was inspired a lot by Elizabeth's song. And so we're going to start with Elizabeth. Elizabeth is Mary's aunt who is pregnant at an old age with John the Baptist, and Mary goes to visit her. And I want you to listen to Elizabeth's response to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 42. Elizabeth says, in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" As soon as the sound of her greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." What is it that you see in this song of Elizabeth? We could look at a lot of different things, but I see joy, for one. I see exuberance. It makes me think of the song, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." It makes me think of that song. This is not a quiet, solemn funeral march. I see proclamation. The volume is loud. It says that in a loud voice she exclaimed. And so proclamation, the tone is bold. I see action. It says even the baby in Elizabeth's womb gets in on the celebration by jumping for joy. Here we have an example of of some action. So I want you all to get up and see if you can jump for joy. No, Chris is gone. Don't do that to us. I agree. I don't like it when people tell me to do stuff like that. If I feel like doing it, I'll do it. So I see action here. The baby is jumping for joy in the womb. Isn't that an amazing thing? I see encouragement here. She's speaking to Mary, and she says, "Blessed are you among women." And then she says at the end, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." She is affirming. She is excited with Mary and for Mary. And I don't know what the situation exactly was here, but we know Mary, in the eyes of society, was pregnant out of wedlock. That isn't a real popular situation to be in today, and especially back in her day. I don't know that there were many people saying, "Way to go, Mary. Good job." But here is Elizabeth. She is affirming her. She is excited for her. Everything that you would want if you had a child, Elizabeth is doing that for Mary. And so I see encouragement in Elizabeth's song. So how about your song? Is your song one of joy? Is that part of who you are? Are you a joyful person? I know that we don't feel like being joyful all the time, and there are times where I'm not very joyful, but as a general rule, are we people of joy, especially this time of year? Are we people that kind of oozes out of us into the lives of others? Maybe you're a stoic person, you know, and you don't really like to express yourself a whole lot, and that's okay. We're all different, but how does that joy show itself in your life? It needs to come out in some way. There's reason for exuberance here. Are you inspired to boldly proclaim the Messiah's coming? Are you inspired to do that? Are you active in your excitement? I had to think of the song. I remember our kids singing it here for Easter, "Jumping Up and Down, Shout Hosanna." If I remember that song, I remember my kids singing that. I had to think of that. It's just like, that's what I think of when I think of this baby jumping, leaping for joy. Absolutely nothing wrong with that kind of expression of joy. Is your song one of encouragement to others? Are you a pick-me-up person, or are you a kind of weight-me-down person? You know, when you get together with someone, do you pick them up, or are you kind of a drag? And I know sometimes I need to dump on people, and I do that, and I appreciate it when I can do that. But if I do that all the time, I'm a drag, you know? That's just the way I am. So are you encouragement to others? So those are some things I think we see from Elizabeth's song. We could look at other things as well. But let's look at Mary's song. And remember, it's out of Elizabeth's encouragement that Mary responds with her own song, beginning in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of this servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Now, I don't even have time or the words to even unfold all of that, what she's saying there. It's such a beautiful expression. But what I see is true worship. This is what I see in Mary's words here and her expression. If we could hear how it is that she said this, I can imagine her in a state of true worship of God. She worships him. She glorifies him. She rejoices. In what does she rejoice? She rejoices in God, my Savior. He is her inspiration. She rejoices that God has recognized her, of all people, that he has chosen her to be a part of his plan in such a significant way. Her song is humble, always pointing to the Lord and what He has done. If you look at the next few verses, 50 on there, she says, His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. Do you see the focus of Mary's song? It is all on the Lord. What an inspiration for us in our own song. And so, her song points to the greatness of God throughout all of history as well, on all that He has done, not on Mary. And this is what impresses me about Mary. And so back to you. What is your song? If you look about incorporating what we see in Mary's song in your own life, is your song a song of worship? Do you know how to worship from the depth of your being, from your soul, from your spirit? Do you worship in spirit and truth? And where does your worship find its inspiration? You know, it seems like sometimes we have to have a certain worship style to be inspired. Like, that worship didn't really do anything for me. Not my kind of songs. Wasn't, you know, I didn't like that song. I don't like that style of music. Is that what we need to truly worship? To have the perfect style that we like? I like styles as well, but I don't think that's really what worship is truly about. I'm afraid we often forget that worship is primarily an attitude and a position of heart. So if you tell me I didn't get much out of that worship, then I just know there's a heart issue there. Significant. You know, that's where we're looking at. Worship is an attitude of the heart, a position of the heart. The rest of it's extra. It can help add to that. And obviously, sometimes when we worship with styles, it can be challenging because it's a style that's not art. Like, so that can be a challenge, but worship begins in the heart. So, is your song a song of worship? Is it a song of humility? Is it truly all about the Lord? Or is it a lot about you? And I think many times we don't have a clue that our song often is a lot about us. It's just, I don't think we realize that, how often it really is about us. The things that we even stand for and fight for that we think are good, often most of that is about, truly about us. So do you know what your song is about? Is it a song of humility? Does your song recount the faithfulness of God? Is that what we talk about? How God has been faithful over, not only just in our lives, but over generations, as we look at His plan being worked out? Does our song talk about the faithfulness of God? That's what I see in Mary here. She's talking about God's faithfulness, not just to her, but through all the generations before her. Is that part of our inspiration? Do we remember? Do we recount the ways? And how often do we recount the ways that God has blessed us, that God has worked out His plan in our lives, that He's been faithful? Can you recount those? Are you a truly thankful person? And so those, I think, are some of the things that we see. We could talk a lot more about Mary's song, but I want to keep moving here. To Zechariah's song. We find his in verse 68. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. So if we look at Zechariah's song here to begin with, it's about salvation. He's talking about redemption. He's talking about this great plan that God is working out. He's excited to be a part of that, to see a glimpse of how that plan is being worked out. And he gives praise to God for this redemption that would come through Jesus Christ. If you read the rest of it, you see his recognition, like Mary, of God keeping his promise to Abraham over and over the successive generations. He gives thanks also for the promise of the forgiveness of sin. And he recognizes the significant role his own son John will play in the preparing the way for Jesus. And Zechariah's song is, I would call it theological. It's deep. It has solid foundations. He understands the pieces that are coming together here. It covers big issues of redemption, salvation of sin, from sin, opportunity for forgiveness, fulfillment of prophecy. We could go into other big words like the incarnation and things like that. And so, what is our song like? Are we inspired by these incredible truths? That because of Christ's coming, we can be redeemed, that we can be forgiven, that we can live eternally with Him. And I know some of you have heard the story many times, from young on up. You've been in church maybe all your life, some of you. You've heard the sermons, you've heard the theology, and after a while you're like, I know that, I know that, I know that. I've heard that before. And I'm wondering, maybe if you don't need to be re-inspired by some of those big truths. Have you ever thought about what it would be like for us if Jesus had not come? What would it be like? What would our situation be if he had not come? If there was no Messiah, we would be without the hope of salvation, without the hope of redemption, without the hope of forgiveness. We would be responsible for every single sin that we've committed, every unkind word, every untruth, every impure thought. We would be directly responsible for it. Have you ever thought of that? Without Jesus, this would be our situation. We would be without the Holy Spirit to help change us and make us into new people. We would be on our own, struggling with all the difficulties, the sin that wants to come out of our lives. We would be on our own. And so I wonder if our song is inspired by these deep truths in Scripture that we find, these deep truths that undergird everything in our lives. Are you willing to go deep, to delve into the mysteries of the incarnation? Is your song about salvation and redemption? Do these deep, powerful truths inspire you to words of praise like we see in Zechariah's life here? I don't have time to go over all the songs in the story. There are so many. We could talk about many other ones. We could talk about the angels who proclaimed glory to God in the highest, to the shepherds they did, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We could talk about the shepherds who spread the word that they had heard, that had been told them. Bob read about Simeon this morning, who sees the child and praises God for the light of revelation for the Gentiles and glory to the people of Israel. We could talk about Anna. Giving thanks to God once again for the redemption that would come through this child. We could talk about the wise men who a couple years later came tremendous distance from foreign lands, traveling many miles, following a star. And what did they do when they found Jesus? Well, they bowed down and they worshiped him. And they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. There's many songs that we could talk about. But I want to return to Mary. There's a verse that really spoke to me that I want to close with. And this comes after the shepherds had come to visit and had told Mary and Joseph the things that they had seen and heard. All these things are happening. There's a flurry of activity. I don't know, maybe your life right now, the Christmas season can be just a flurry of activity, can it? A lot of things going on, Christmas parties, family getting together, whatever it might be. But I love what Mary has to say here. Or what's said about Mary, actually. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And this is my suggestion to you today, this season. I don't know if you've had much time to ponder. I know my life has been pretty busy the last week. Have you had time to think about the mystery of this, the wonder of this? Have you taken time out of your busy schedule, maybe each day, just to wrestle with these truths, to wonder at this amazing event that has occurred? To ponder. I don't know that that's a word we use very often, but I love that word, ponder. I always need to be reminded to do this. And my guess is you do too. We never quite have the time, it seems, to ponder, to think. And so, before I conclude, I want to, actually at the end, I'm going to leave time. Just a few minutes for you in silence to think. And some of you are going to feel uncomfortable with silence because we never really sometimes take time for silence to think. But we're going to do that this morning. We have a little time. And out of that pondering and treasuring, I want to encourage you to make music. Make beautiful music. Music inspired by God Himself and His Son Jesus. Music inspired by the story of this birth, this coming of Christ. I encourage you to make joyful, exuberant music. I invite you to enter into true worship, and this comes out of the inspiration that we get from these events, from Scripture, from the Lord. True worship from your heart, from your spirit. Make music that proclaims the gospel. Clearly, boldly, without shame. Because you're excited about it, you know? We're excited about it. I'm excited about it. Music that's humble. that's about Jesus and not all the other stuff that we could really get excited about this time of year. A lot of good things happening, but ultimately, our music needs to be humble. It's all about Jesus. Thankful music, recounting God's faithfulness, and music that has depth, you know? None of this shallow stuff. Music with depth, anchored in the deep truths and mysteries of God. So this morning during the sharing time, Bob's going to come up and lead us in a time of prayer and sharing. But I want you to, some of you, to use that time to share just a little part of your song. I don't know what it will be, what God has inspired you this morning. But if you would bless the rest of us and share just a little part of your song during the sharing time, that would be awesome. So let's go into a time of a couple minutes of silence and just reflection and pondering. Father, we thank you for this time of year for us to celebrate. Lord, we thank you for these characters that we've looked at, these people in the past who recognized your coming, who participated, who were involved in different ways in your coming to earth. We thank you for their expressions, their songs, expressions to you, to the world around them. And Lord, I pray that they might be, their stories might be an inspiration to us, but most of all, that you might be an inspiration to us. We might be inspired by your word, by the stories we read, by your work in the past and in the present, and the work that we know you are going to do in the future. And Lord, we pray that our lives would be lives of true worship to you. May our song be clear, and may it point to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.